there.
Where?
They were all sitting there. You had other chairs. And I sat there and I told them, when I was just, would you like to hear about the Carino family? So I told them all about the Carino family.
You did? Yeah. What'd you tell them?
I told them that my dad was from Philippine Islands, I was raised in Brooklyn, New York, and Jean's from Tennessee, and we met in the service, and all that.
That's nice. That's
tell
very cool.
Tell me when you're rolling, so I don't interfere.
That's very cool.
Well, they didn't know, they were sitting here.
Did they ask questions?
They were like, know about the family. They were getting in.
What they were getting in for? Is that what you just said? What they were getting
in. I'm just worried I'm going to end up blowing my nose and making a lot of noise.
Yeah. Oh, I told you, like...
It lasts the human quality.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I told you, when I used to go with Papa, when he'd get on my back about getting a haircut, I'd say, yeah, I'll go with you. We'd get down to Sand Street, the Filipino barber. You get down there? Papa would walk in there like it was John D. Rockefeller. About three or four Filipinos go up and touch him, for money. Pops, yeah. Hell no, he wouldn't. you get out and you work. He didn't have Filipino friends, my dad. We never had, they were just...
But you had all those Filipinos coming over to the house.
The ones that came in there, he never brought Filipinos home, Papa.
Really? Well, then, but how did he feel about Grandma?
Came up there was from when Pet run for Miss Philippines. And we met all these Filipinos like that. And then they were the only new Filipinos I ever met. Was that through that Aunt Pet running for Miss Philippines?
Yeah.
And the first one was Don Briosa. She met, and he was the artist.
Right.
He was a kind of... Those silhouettes you see of Mom cut,
Yeah.
On the Hudson River Dayline boat, and he do your profile and make put that profile on a little thing like that. It was your profile. And then he, and then through that Miss Philippines, that's where Amelia met Maddie, Ventura. There. And then Maddie brought this Bob Ignacio. That man used to take a block of solid plastic and with these drills, dental drills, he used to put in there like roses and all kinds of flowers, and then he'd stain them with dyes. And beautiful. It looked like a real rose was embedded right in that thing.
Wow.
That was Don. That was Bob Ignacio. Nice man. And during the war, there was a big headline that came to the United States. B-25 crashes into a mess hall in India or someplace like that, killing a lot of, what do you call it? This guy, Bob Ignacio, was in there, and he was horribly burned in his face. When he came back from the service, he was a good-looking Filipino man. He was all, that was all like burned face.
Wow.
He had then. And he lived with Mealy for a while and Maddie Ventura.
Really?
Yeah.
You said the first new Filipinos you met besides Maddie. We said
through Pat Comet. One was what was his name? He was a graduate engineer from the University of Colorado. And a lot of times when these Filipinos would come up with Pet's foot man, I forget who was her manager during the but they'd bring these Filipinos up to get money, a dollar a vote. And it was a scam, really. It turned out to be a scam. But anyway, he brought up this one Filipino, and I was in high school then. I was doing mathematics and stuff. And this kid, one day, they were all in the living room, and of course, I was a kid. I was in the way at the other end of the doing homework, and this Filipino came and saw what I was doing, Oh, man, did he... Every time he came to the house with whatever friends, he always looked me up to see if I was doing mathematics.
Doing math, yeah.
Or physics. He was an engineering graduate. So I forget his name. He had a funny name. But anyway. But my dad never brought Filipinos home.
Why do you think?
He'd go down the stairs. Well, he used to call them bums.
Oh, really?
Says they're all a bunch of bums down there.
Huh.
they don't work, whatever they do. They're always panhandling, you know.
Those particular ones.
Whoever they were.
Right,
He never brought any of the Sand Street crowd over. You know?
Yeah.
Stephos never brought any Filipinos over.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah. Though Grandmom had a lot of Filipinos to the house.
Well, that was from Aunt Pet.
No, but I'm talking about Primo. I'm talking about...
Oh, we had Primo. You know, Uncle Joe came to us in 1925 in Philly.
From the Philippines.
He was a Navy man, and I think Pop-Pop and he served on this Wyoming you got there.
Uh-huh.
At the time. And I guess, you know,
friends? Got to be friends?
He liked Joe, you know, if you need a room, and he was their home port was Philly, yeah. So I remember like a whole year he'd never be there, but he sent Mom like $10 a month or something like that.
Uh-huh.
A lot of money.
Yeah. What did Pop-Pop do in the Navy?
Huh? In the Navy, he was a cook.
Yeah.
He from the Philippine Islands as a teenager, I guess. He got in the Navy as a mess attendant, they called him.
A mess attendant.
Yeah.
Right.
The Navy only used Filipinos and blacks for gophers, mess attendants, and all
right,
that kind of stuff.
Right. Right. Ward attendants, cooks.
Cooks. Just cooks. Yeah. Clean up. You know, in the Navy they were called mess attendants or
right.
Cooks. Always assigned to the food part.
Yeah.
And Pop-Pop rose from that. Hell, he became a cook, and on he became, you saw this chief petty officer. You know?
He did become chief petty officer.
Oh, yeah. That was like a sergeant.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like being a sergeant.
Yeah.
And during World War II, when he got booted off that ship after that, he went back, and they put him at Floyd Bennett Field.
Right.
And he worked there. And then he put in for this, I want to go back into action. They put him on the ship. And he couldn't handle general quarters. He was 50-something years old.
53, so I think I figured out.
They put him off in Virginia and sent him back to Floyd Bennett Field.
Yeah.
And then he had the whole black group coming in for mess attendants. I don't know, hundreds of them. He was a big shot.
Really?
Yeah.
He was in charge of training them.
He was for that whole training battalion.
Wow.
You know, so he was that. He was Mr. Big down there for these new recruits coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were all black.
I see.
And then, of course, Joey went back, but Joey worked for some base captain or some base admiral or somebody like
that. Did Pop-Pop ever attend a special admiral or a special...
Yeah, went in Philly.
He was a...
When he came shore duty, I remember us going to this admiral's... House,
what? What?
So
this year, this would have been 1920 something.
5, 6, or 7.
Okay.
Like that.
So he was an attendant.
No, that would be around 25, 26.
He was an attendant to an admiral.
Yeah. When his ship came back in and that his ship was there.
Right.
It would be in dry dock or being repaired.
Yeah.
All the sailors had shore jobs. And Pop was signed to an admiral's house.
I see.
As a cook.
As a cook.
Or one of the cooks or whatever.
Wow.
And I remember him taking me there.
Really?
I met a couple of them, and one of them made a shoebox for me that we had for many years in our family.
A shoebox?
It was a shoebox. And you know what you put your foot on?
Yeah.
He made that all out of one piece of wood.
What do you mean, what you put your foot on?
Well, you know, when you put your foot on to shine your shoes, it was like a foot stand.
Yeah.
But it was built right on the box, but it looked like a foot.
Yeah.
See?
Who built that?
This Filipino man, whoever it was. And we had that. In fact, I think Gene and I had it for...
I think you still have it or you gave it.
Your kids bought me one, that the one I've got now.
Okay.
But Mom and I had that for a long time. I don't know what happened.
But what was the connection to the admiral on that? I don't get that.
Well, these Filipinos worked there. When Pop...
Would cook.
Come home. You know, he was based in Philly, and we lived in Philly.
Right.
So when he got there, he would come home.
Yeah.
And then he'd have to go back to work. And
okay.
He'd work around the admiral all day until night. And then the admiral had permanent...
Housing.
Guys, no, permanent workers who stayed on the base.
I see.
And catered to, but Pop-Pop used to come home.
I see.
And that's when I probably got to... No, my dad. But I had never seen Dad until 1925.
So that's when he was, you
I
were
about... I don't remember seeing my father until I was about five or six.
Do you remember the first time you saw him? You have a scene in your mind or anything?
Well, not really. I remember one time, Aunt Kath, Uncle Pete, and Mom, and I don't know who else. Sundays, you can get down to Navy Yard. That was open to the public. You can. Mom used to take me down there because I went to see the airplanes and all. And this one time we went there, I'll never forget this. I think it was Aunt Kath said, Flo, I think that's Theo's ship. 289. It was 289 on the ship, you know? And Mom said, by God, that is. They had just come in. Well, in those days, you know, you couldn't send a telegram from today. They know when the ships are coming in. Mm-hmm. They would just come in, you know?
This is the first time you
saw it. So, and I... Oh, I don't know.
Go ahead.
It may have... I don't know. It might have been. But I remember him, and we're looking up in the bow of the ship, and somebody's waving like that. It was Pop-Pop. You know? It was him. And then we waited there, and he came down off the ship. He said, we just got in. I remember him saying, we just got in. We just came in, you know? And he would, you know, probably hoping to surprise us, but here we are out there. And that's what you used to do, son. You walk all around and see the ships. And then when that ship was in, I remember him taking Aunt Kath, me, and all, we'd go aboard that ship. You know? That's when I saw it. He showed me the guns, you know. He'd open up the breech. And then the torpedoes in there. And he showed me the props going around. Like
yeah,
that, you know?
Yeah. Wow, that's a great story. That's a great story.
Yeah, I remember that. I'll never forget that. I guess I think that's the ocean, 289.
Wow.
Yeah, the flusser.
The flusser, right.
Yeah, that was the flusser.
And you're thinking perhaps that's the first time you saw him, but maybe not, huh?
They'd come in like, they'd go out, and they'd be gone for months.
Right.
You know, and then they'd come back in, and they'd just be in for provisions or something like that. But this one time they come in for dry dock because then Papa, while he was aboard ship, he was a destroyer didn't have many men, maybe 100 and something guys, you know, and probably the mess attendants were 4, but they weren't very big either, you know, the whole kitchen group.
Yeah.
And we had a Jewish butcher.
In Philly,
right on the corner there. And Pop, he had to order provisions for the kitchen meat. He used this, what the hell, Rosenberg, or whatever his name was, Jewish fellow. But Pop, this guy was supplying meat to that ship.
Wow.
A big order.
Great order.
And Mom used to bitch about it. She says, he never gave us hamburger meat or anything like that. It was a favor, right? Yeah. She'd think, hey, you know, Christ, Pop, give this guy hundreds of big sides of beef. This guy, that's what's in the board shed, you know. What was their name? I forget. Whatever it was. But I remember being in that man's house. It was a 3-story house.
In Philadelphia now.
In Philly. This is right on the corner.
South Philly.
South Philly, right on the corner of Johnson and Darien, right there.
Uh-huh.
And we went in there, and he had a room like your Aunt Frieda's. He had a living room. With rope across the entrance. I'll never get that. It was like going to a museum. You looked in there, you know.
Yeah, he was pretty wealthy after supplying the fleet.
Oh, he did them. No, the fleet, just that ship.
I know, I'm joking.
Then during the war, before Pop-Pop shipped out, when Joey and one time Joey got caught. See, they used to bring. See, we had
which
books.
War, Pop?
Yeah. We had stamps for gasoline and things like butter.
Yep.
And dairy products. So Pop-Pop and Joe, mostly Joey, not Pop-Pop. Pop-Pop never got into that, but Joe would bring like butter that was supposed to have been put on the tables but didn't get put on the tables because they didn't need to, then it would be extra.
Yeah, from the ships.
From shore duty. There's men on shore. They have mess halls. They
In the Navy Yard in Philly.
Joe would bring this butter. One time, either somebody snitched on Uncle Joe and all, but he had put this butter, wrapped it up in newspaper and all that, and put it in the engine compartment, but down where it didn't get hot. And the MPs opened that up, Shore Patrol opened it up, and caught it. But nothing happened.
Butter smuggler.
But there was another man. A friend of Uncle Pete, his name was Asanan, Filipino, Asanan, something. I don't know his last name. He had a car, too. Asanan. And he worked down at when his ship was in, he was down at the foot of the, he used to bring Mom crates of cantaloupe.
Really?
Because my Aunt Kat lived right next door. We were right next to the Aunt Kat. And he'd bring a crate of cantaloupes. And he'd bring like a whole big box of eggs, stuff like this guy Asanan.
So this helped the family eat during the Depression, no doubt?
Oh, this is the 20s, honey.
Oh, we're not in the Depression.
We're not even into 29. We're in Philly. We didn't leave Philly until 1927.
I see.
And this had to be 25, 26.
Yeah.
Well, at that age, I'm...
You're five or six, you're very...
I go back to being 4 years old when my grandma dropped dead in front of me.
That's your...
first real memory of remembering.
Yeah.
I was playing outside. I wouldn't come in. And she was wanting me to come in. So she sent Freddie and a friend of his, to come out and get me, and they carried me in. I wouldn't come in. They carried me in.
Where were you playing?
Right outside in the dump out there.
In the dump?
Right where our house was, we had an alley. Was a road, right?
Right. I remember the alley.
And then right after that, the dump started. The dump.
Okay.
Also fun to explore.
I mean, it was a city dump. It was a garbage dump. The trucks used to come out and dump garbage out there.
Yeah.
And all that. It got to be like when you were kids, we used to go to Secaucus, the pig place, and Mom would give you our
haul. Yeah. It wasn't fun.
And we'd go in there, and the guy who was taking the money, we'd say, "Well, what a steak!" And the kid, and she'd say, "What steak?" The guy couldn't smell it. Well, we lived there. We could smell. You got it in your, what do you call it?
What'd your grandma die of?
So your grandma, you were telling us the story about your grandmother dying.
Oh. They carry me in, and I was kicking and fussing and all that, and I'm standing there crying like hell. My grandma, they had washboards in a big tub. She went like that, and she fell right down.
Oh, man.
She fell right down.
Jeez.
And then Aunt Kath came in, and they gave her whiskey, hoping to bring her back.
She must have had a massive
then
coronary.
Then I remember, you always buried from the house. I remember the casket being in there.
Yeah, laying out,
But I remember my grandma before she died. Yeah, I remember before that.
Which side?
Mother's side.
Mother's side. I was my mother's mother. I remember before she died, we had a Victrola. An old Victor Victrola with the dog. You could see the dog.
The RCA dog.
And she would play one of the marches. I don't know what it was. And we'd march around. I had a flag. And she died. And then right after that, wasn't too long after that, we moved to Brooklyn.
Then you moved to Brooklyn. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
But I started school there. I remember starting the first. I still remember my first day of school. Crying. I wouldn't boil. Screaming and crying. Right.
That's a P.S. We saw
that
school.
No, that was Fell School. F-E-L-L.
Yeah.
Called Fell School.
Yeah.
Right there. It was both an elementary and a junior high.
Uh-huh.
That's where Freddie went to junior high. I remember this teacher. I forget her name. And this teacher came down, and she talked to Mom, and she was talking to me, and she... And I got to, I don't know, She calmed me down.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, I want you to come and meet children or somebody that you'll be playing with. We went up there, and she introduced me. She says, this is Theodore, you know, and he's going to be coming here, like that. And that was my first day. And then we went back to the principal's house and went home from that. Then we came back in, and this teacher...
And your mother brought you there?
I'd have to go to the principal's office, and this teacher would come down and get me and go back. Uh-huh. And then I got indoctrinated.
They took good care of you.
Then I get into that. But that teacher, she was, I can remember she had a, whatever you call that, no chin wire. I forget her name. But she was so nice. She was my teacher, 1A and 1B. Then I had this real, Miss Katz. I was just starting to feel my oats then. What we used to do, they had short skirts in those days. And I'd be at my desk, and when she was talking to a kid there, I'd get down.
Oh!
I'd look up her skirt. That teacher.
You were kind of a rat there, Deb.
Yeah. This teacher, one day she got up and said, Theodore, spell wheel. W-E-E-L. W-A-L. And she had me stand up in front of that for that. We had, this is arithmetic period, this is your writing penmanship period, this was the spelling period. For how long it was, I couldn't spell that damn word for nothing. And my sister Pat was probably the most well-known student in that elementary school. She's not only very smart, but she was always, Mom always put a bow in her hair, she was well-dressed, and she could play the piano, my sister could. And she says, I'm going to call your sister. And she called Pet down, and she says, could you spell wheel for your brother? W-A-G-E-L. And my sister, she said, you shouldn't have made him cry. She said that to that teacher, and Pet came over, you know, and she kind of hugged me and all that.
Aww, I love it.
I'll take that to my grave.
That's he protected you.
I forget spelling.
That was
wheel. The hell, whatever. Put an H in front of an E.
That's right. That makes sense to me either. With wheel.
So will you tell us about the best parts of growing up in Brooklyn?
Oh, Brooklyn. Then when we moved to Brooklyn, of course, we moved right with Aunt Mamie. That's Mom's sister. We were in the same, not originally. We moved to the 70 Johnson Street. Aunt Mamie still lived on Hudson Avenue, but Aunt Mamie, she came up there. And there was Filipinos, us, Aunt Mamie there, and my godmother, who married a Filipino. Astorger was his name.
Your godfather?
No. She was my godmother.
What was her name?
Astorger. I don't know what her maiden name was. She was an Irish or German, I forget what. Probably German, I think.
Married a Filipino, though.
Yeah, Mr. Astorger.
Yeah.
And he worked for the post office. He was a Navy man who had retired, worked for the post office.
Yeah.
And they had three children, Stanley, Alice, and I don't know the youngest one, whatever her name was. But Alice would be like my age, Alice Astorger. And she was mestiza. They were mestiza. We lived all in that there. Then I went to PS5, which was no problem. I just went to that school. In there. But then Zaki and Joe, well, there's a sad story about my two cousins. I was friends with both. The two brothers never spoke to each other all their life. Well, my Uncle Gomez, who was full-blooded Filipino, they had a cat of nine, you know what a cat of nine tails is? It's a stick with nine leather things on it. He used to beat boys with that. If they got out, you got beat with cat of nine tails. That's what he used. One of them broke a window, and he beat the Jesus out of the other, and the one he beat was not the one who was at fault. He beat the wrong one. So whoever, and those two boys, from whatever age that was, never had anything to do with each other, though they lived together. But anyway, Zaki was a better ball player, but we used to play punch ball. They got me into this punch ball. Though I was a little young, but there was other guys of Zaki's age who had younger brothers that I got to know. One was a Jewish boy, Louis Sobel. I remember Louis Sobel. And Grubert. Little Grubert boy. The Grubert boy, Louis Sobel, and I, my first two friends in Brooklyn were two Jewish boys. I gravitated to Jewish kids in my life.
Me too.
And then we, you know, and I grew up in that, and I, even when I left, well, I learned to play ball in Philly when I was a kid. Learned to throw a ball and catch it, you know, and they throw a ball and catch it. And I got real good at it. I was only 5 years old, but anyway, when we got to Brooklyn there, in Philly, a guy would throw you the ball and it would bounce and you'd hit it. But in Brooklyn, you had the ball, it was like tennis. You threw it up in the air and you whacked it like a tennis player would. And I got real good at that. And then I got so good at it. Now, like Zaki was like a little older than Pet, he was probably, when I moved to Philly, I was 7. Zaki was probably 13, 14. And all his friends. And that was, they used to call the team the Pearlites because that was Pearl Street. Pearl and Johnson, you live. And and then every Sunday, there'd be neighborhoods would have a bunch of guys that would play each other, and everybody put up a nickel or a dime, and they'd cover it, and the winning team got the money. If you put in a nickel, you won a nickel. If you won it, they put in a quarter, you won a quarter. And they'd write that down. How much did you put in? You know, they'd write on it. Nothing, you put that.
Where would they write it on?
That piece of paper.
Okay.
That piece of paper. You know, or one time they would just put chalk and put it down and like, Zach, how much you put dime? You know, put the money down there, and that was off to the side. But I got to play with them big guys.
You were 7.
Good. That's pretty good. I got to play with the big guys. But Zachy was good. Zachy could really catch. He was very good. Yeah. We used to have a playground up around Public School 5. They had swings.
It's still there. Remember, you and I
saw
it. Yeah,
I showed you that school. And these were like you have, them big long chains.
Yeah.
On here. Oh, these were long. Boy, we used to get on that. And you'd get it. And we'd get about horizontal, and you'd take off. Hell, you'd be about 12, 15 feet in the air, you know? Yeah, and we'd take off and see who could go the furthest out there.
Wow.
You know, you got a little scared. At first, when you were trying to learn that, but we'd get that thing so that was just about horizontal.
Wow.
And we'd take off, you know, land that.
Oh, you'd fly off of it.
You got right off
you
of it.
You jumped off of it.
Yeah, well, you...
You'd just, fly.
You got off that thing.
God, you must have been 10...
Sometimes if you land first, Jesus, your hands with all them cinders, like little pebbles in there. Anyway.
Good Lord.
We did that. Then we used to play games in there called Ring Alivio. Ring Alivio, you couldn't leave the block. You had to stay on the block. You had to hide someplace on the block.
On the block. And a block is like...
Not the street. From one street to another.
Yeah,
another.
Right. Both sides
like
of the street, right?
Johnson.
But you have both sides of the street.
Yeah, both sides of the street on Pearl Street. That was the street. That was Pearl Street. And this was Johnson. And over here was Myrtle Avenue. You couldn't get off the street. You had to hide. And there was stoops you could hide and stuff like that. Couldn't go up on a roof. You weren't allowed to go up on a roof.
Could you go inside a house?
No, you couldn't. No, you had to be outside.
Outside.
Place.
Could be in an alleyway,
you
though.
You could hide behind somebody, some guys hanging around.
Okay.
See, the Zachy's age guys and all that, they had a group, we had a candy store, the Grubich candy store. And there would be probably four, five, six of his guys hanging around there.
I see.
And you could hide any place, right behind a garbage can if you want or something like that. And you had to go find the guy, and the sewer plate was home base. And if I said, I see you, Joey, and if he wasn't, he'd have to try to beat me to that, what do you call it? See, if he beat me, then he can go hide again. And the way you all took turns, whoever, that if you caught everybody, that means they just sat around until you caught the last guy. Then somebody else would do it.
What's it called again? Ring?
Ring Alivio. R-I-N-G-A-Livio. However you spelt it. L-E-V-I-O or something like Livio. That was it.
How old are you at this time?
Then we used to... Well, I was probably getting to be 8, 9, yeah, in there. Then we used to play another game, kick the can. And the sewer plates were like, they were like baseball. That was like first, second, and third. No, sewer plates were home base and second base.
Okay.
And then we'd have to put a chalk line for first base and for third base, and the other sewer plate was home plate.
And there weren't any cars parked there.
Well, it got to be that on Saturdays, all over Brooklyn, they used to designate play streets.
Oh, really?
See? And they have a no parking sign. Oh. You know, we'd run that out there and put that down. But we used to run that out there like on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Until the cops came, probably get that thing out, you know. So. Anytime we'd play ball, we'd run that damn sign out of there. Cards come down and blow up and go. Until the cops come. And the cop knew it was only Saturday.
Did you have a neighborhood cop?
Huh?
Did you have a neighborhood?
Yeah, Torpy. I think with Torpy or something. It was T and then with an I, his name. And in those days, those cops had nightsticks. Of course, they had pistols, but they had nightsticks. What do you have in your hand? And during election, why it happened, the big, I want to say like my cousin Zachy, they're the big guys. What the big guys would do during election, they would steal the newspaper stand. All candy stores had a newspaper stand, you know, which was, had newspapers on. And when you went to, you know, then on newspapers, you go in and that's what happened. The big guys would steal these stands and burn them, see? They would. And this Torpy, he was a guy like, he'd come down, you kids, you know, get the stand back up on the place again, you know, not too sad. He was the neighborhood foot cop.
Yeah.
They were foot patrols, these guys. And they had these stick. They had big leather. They'd run them like yo-yos. They could spin them and do everything with them thing. One day, the guys had burned this thing in there, and me and a friend of mine, Joey Molinari, and the fire's dying out, and we're standing there watching it, and all of a sudden, Jesus Christ, I got this whack right across the base of it. And it knocked me. Here was Torpy. It hit me with that nightstick. Oh, you know, where do you live? You know, he grabbed me, put it in the collar, took me down to my mom. You know, he says your son burned these damn. What he remember burning that? What do you agree with? But anyway, this guy. You said this cop Torpy. One time, it was the time when the communists, they would put up a little, like a box, say, and they put up a flag, and they talk about communism, and right on the corner there, say, right in English. Say. And there'd be a few people around there, but that was very prevalent in my day. So, around the 4th of July sometime, not the 4th, but around that time, we can get firecrackers. We used to buy things called torpedoes from Mrs. Grubert's candy store. You could buy, the only firecrackers you could buy were these little one-inchers and these torpedoes, not the big ones.
Right. So,
I don't know who, Eddie Weldon or Louis de Greek or Joe Molinari says, next time the communists come, let's go get the torpedoes and throw the damn things down on them, you know, when they're talking. We went up on this corner roof and they'd be right down on the corner. We had these torpedoes.
Bomb in the rest.
And torpedo the cop would be, he'd have to stand there to make sure there was nobody.
Interfering with freedom
and
of speech.
And he'd look up, you know, and he'd see us up there and we're throwing his, he never did a damn thing about it.
We know which side torpedo was on.
We throw these torpedoes. They were just like a, you know, them things mom makes with the sugar and the, Aunt Frida with the sugar and the...
Sugar plums.
You know, sugar plums they make. You know, mom makes them every Christmas.
Yeah.
They look just like that. I remember when mom made it, I might have said, just like a torpedo we had. We threw that down. Torpedo, he wouldn't mind that. We'd be there banging and
bombing the rest.
We'd have about a dozen of them things coming down. You know? But that guy's still talking down there. He never stopped. He didn't keep talking. And when we finish.
Wow.
But there were some bad times there. See, all neighborhoods have a gang, and you really didn't just walk around Brooklyn, New York, any damn place you wanted, see. Not in the Borough Hall section, which was big. Areas called Red Hook, and then down by the bridge, the dock, which is the Italian neighborhood. And we were just on the edge of the Italian neighborhood, and around the corner is the Greeks. They had a tenement house thing there, must have had 300, two or 300 apartments, and there must have been four or five of those, and they were all Greek. Everybody was Greek. No, not wrong. 96-97% were all Greek, because Mrs. Grubert lived there, and she was Jewish. In those tenements there. And then, you know, that neighborhood up there, next street, Concord, when you get up around Tillery and Concord, it's all Italian. All Italian. Then it was Greek. Up from us, all Puerto Rican. The whole tenement house area was, that's where I used to run the numbers.
Yeah.
It was about Puerto Ricans, five of those buildings, four or five stories. They're all Puerto Ricans in there.
And what's yours, a Filipino enclave?
In ours, we had the three Filipinos. Carinos, Gomez, Astorga, and that's it. There was three Filipino families there, in that area.
Did you, what was the pecking, where were the Filipinos in the pecking
the
order?
Filipino.
In the pecking order.
When I first went to pub, it was in, when I was 8 or 9 years old, like that, PS5. They used to call me Chink. Hey, Chink.
Really?
Chink. Yeah.
Oh, Chinese?
Yeah, Chink. That was, guys, not real friends, but
yeah.
You know, you didn't know them like that. Hey, Chink! You know, like that. That's where I used to get in a lot of fights. Yeah. Me and Cliff sometimes.
Were you part of the gang, Ted?
Huh?
Were you part of the gang?
No, well, you, it's not a formal gang like you have gangs, you know. But this was our neighborhood.
So. Like that kind of gang neighborhood.
But if two or three guys walked into a neighborhood, we didn't know, you know. A couple of the bigger guys would go over, you know.
What's
there
your
used
business?
To be a Tormund Street gang. I know those were not good times. The Tormund Street gang were all Irishmen. And I can never...
Were they top of the heap?
Huh?
Were they top of the heap?
No, they were a tough gang. They came from the Red Hook district, way beyond Borough Hall. They these guys were a roaming gang.
Just
you know, they go into an area, look for trouble. And somebody let out a yell, here come the Tormund Streeters, you know? Mm-hmm. Zachy and George, you know. Though Zachy and George never spoke, they had mutual friends in the group. Zachy had a couple and George had a couple. In those days, in the Greek tenements there, you know, they delivered milk. And you put the empties outside. There was an area in the hall there. You put the empty milk bottles. And somebody put out there, here come the Torment Streeters, or Pearl Street guys would go and bring them milk bottles to the top of the roofs. When they come down there, man, them bottles come raining down on them. Christ, there'd be glass all over that street.
Oh, man.
And that used to flush them guys out of there.
Yeah.
If you ever got caught down in that Red Hook District, boy, I'm telling you.
So you didn't venture too far, huh?
You sure as hell better be able to run, I'll tell you. Huh?
You didn't venture too far from your...
Yeah, you didn't. I remember a couple of times getting older where I got into the 17, 18, 19 living in Brooklyn, and I go to school and I date. I'd like to date somebody sometimes and say, I'll meet you. You know, you didn't go pick them up or bring them out and meet you, meet you at the movie or something like that.
Irish girl.
Whatever they were.
Yeah.
For 4 years, I married a Jewish girl in Erasmus Hall.
Did you?
Yeah.
Ah.
Rose Brustein. I got her in my yearbook. Rose Brustein.
You got two kids that married Jewish people.
She'd forget her damn book and she'd come sit with me. In class.
Do you think she forgot?
And I remember the teacher come down and she said, if Theodore doesn't mind, I don't either.
Theodore didn't mind.
Sit with me, you know.
Talk about the stories about Clifford in Philly.
Oh, well, then a big time for me was to go back to Philly, and my friend Clifford was there. Clifford. He's Filipino. He's a mestizo boy. And we'd go back and we'd play ball. And Cliff was a real good athlete. He was a gymnast too. You know,
he'd
stand there and flip.
Okay.
He'd stand a whack and go back and just do a flip like that. Or he'd run along and do a forward flip. Oh yeah, he could do it. I could never do that. But he was a good swimmer. And I didn't learn to swim until I was around 14. But when I did swim, the swimmies, there were public pools. One day was for the girls in the neighborhood, but it wasn't in our neighborhood. It was pretty far away. You could walk, maybe a mile. One day would be for girls, one day would be for boys.
Rob.
And there was a bunch of these pools around, but not close by. You know, within 10 blocks, they'd be all over. And we go out there, and this one was the 6th Street pool. That's where we always went to. And they had a swimming team. And these pools would have meets all over the city, from all over, many, many pools. So this one summer, I was going to be there for about a month. You're staying with Aunt Kat, my Aunt Kat. And it's when I got to learn to swim. I could do what they call the Australian crawl, Johnny Weissmuller.
Yeah, Johnny Weissmuller.
So, but you had to be a resident of some. So my name, I was on a swimming team, my name was Ted Jaron. That was my name.
Cliff's last name, right? Cliff's brother.
So we were up at one, in fact, Cliff and I had to take a trolley car to go to this, where we're going to have this meet. All those guys and just Cliff and I, the other guys got there how they got. But Cliff and I took this trolley car up to this pool, wherever it was. And this was like an area meet, you know, all these different pools. And we won that, me and Cliff.
Did you?
Yeah, we won our heat in there.
Were you an Australian crawl?
I did mine on the speed, on the Australian, uh-huh. And Cliff did his for the butterfly.
Oh, yeah.
So you come in, you go. Cliff won that in a butterfly. And we had a paper, I remember, Mabel had that paper a long time. The 6th Street, that was the name, the 6th Street pool wins the butterfly and heat. And Ted and Cliff Jaron.
Tell the story about the dump and the gun and the kids.
Oh, well. Cliff, where he lived, his girlfriend, Sarah Gangemi was her name. She had a brother, a little red-headed guy. He's a real pain in the ass. And this kid would... He'd be just a pain. One day, he showed up at the 6th Street pool, and I don't know why we did it. We had to get him for something. I don't know what he did. So we grabbed him and hung him by the... Cliff hold one foot and I held the other. And we dipped him into the pool and held him in there 3 or 4 seconds. We got him out. He damn near choked. He goes down there. Well, when we came out of that pool, Cliff and I were walking, and all of a sudden, right against us, wall, bam, a bottle crashes, and that's this kid. He threw a bottle at us, you know. And we chased him all the way back. All the way back. We didn't get him. Well, one day, this friend of Clifford's, Bonzi was his name, he says, hey, I got a .22, let's go down to the dumps, you know, we'll shoot rats.
Just the same dump behind where you used to live?
Right,
yeah,
behind
South Philly dump.
That was a dump for a long time, you know. And this is the early 30s.
In the city, you're
this is
shoot
the early
right?
30s. So how the hell we got this kid to come with us, Stan Jennings' brother?
Did you know how to shoot a gun then?
Huh?
Did you know how to shoot a gun then?
I was 22.
Well, so I know, but...
Well, no, Bonzi had it.
Okay.
It was his gun. Like, and then during that era, we learned how to do that, see? But...
How old?
12? 13, maybe. Go ahead. 12 or 13, how this Dan Jammy's brother got to come along with us,
I don't
know.
Redhead, Ted? Huh? Is this the redhead, Dad?
Just a little redhead guy that we dipped in a pool.
Yeah, he's not too smart. This
the one that threw a milk bottle at us and all that. Yeah. Well, we get down to the dump and we're looking for rats. So we're shooting. And we're all taking turns. And Bonzi says, okay, I forget this kid's name. Go ahead, you go ahead and shoot something. Well, that kid cocked that damn gun, and he says, and he called me, he says, now I got you bastards.
Oh,
you know, Cliff, like that, you know? And he pulled that trigger, but nothing went off.
Oh, jeez.
Where did he point it?
Jumped on him. We beat the Jesus out of him.
Where did he point it?
He pointed right at whoever was in the front. We're all trying to get behind the other, and he pulled that damn trigger,
damn.
You know? And we got him. We beat the Jesus out.
Oh, yeah.
But he got home, and again, Sarah, again, Jimmy's mother, and all Jesus, she went up to Mabel and told her about him, beat my son up. And but that kid never bought us.
I bet not. No.
But anyway.
So you want to talk
and
about...
Every time I went to Philly, you know, that's we used to play ball. We had a team there, and that's what I used to look forward to there in Philly. One time, we went there and there was going to be a Filipino dance. They used to call it the Rizal Ball, and it was all Filipino. Rizal was some Filipino patriot way back.
That's right.
But it was named as the Rizal Ball. All the Filipinos went to this. So Cliff and I went to the movies that afternoon, and the picture was Dawn Patrol, an aviation about World War One.
How much did it cost you to get in?
A dime, I think. So we saw the picture. We liked it, so we stayed and we saw it again. We saw that picture 3 times, and we... And when you went, you got little airplanes they gave you. The kids got little airplanes. So Cliff got one, I got one. We went to this Rizal Ball. That's a big dance. I mean, they're all, they might add tuxes for all I know. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. No, Cliff and I was just flying this airplane. We talked about kids being a pain in the ass. We were flying, they're trying to get
all these gowns.
They're on their airplanes like that. So the Filipinos, it was always in a hotel, it might have been in the big Stafford Hotel, which was the hotel in Philly, and they had a hospitality room there, and it was, of course, Prohibition time, and they'd make these punch bowls of booze. So Cliff and I went wandering, and we got it. Why we got to this room, and there were these punch bowls.
How old were you, Dad?
I said it'd be 9, 10, 11 maybe, something like that. And there was all these empty Coke bottles, you know, little, they, remember the classic little Coke bottles? We got a bottle, we stuck it in, we filled up. So we said, we can't drink it here, we'll wait till we get home. Of course, I stayed with Clifton. Wait till we get home. So we had this, how we hid them, I don't know, but we plugged it up somehow. And we had these things. But and those, and we're riding home. Another little funny thing about that. All the cars in those days, must have been around 1930, because it was our car. Pop-Pop had got the car, blue Ford. They had little flower vases in them.
Oh.
They used to decorate the car. Cliff had to go. He said, God, I got to go.
Oh, man.
He peed in his... When we got home with that, we drank that. Stay with Cliff. They never knew it, but I guess it put us to sleep pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
What we didn't finish, we put down a sink. Oh, Mom. Look at Mom. Isn't she pretty?
Hey.
You're recording that?
Yeah. Tell him to finish it up.
All right.
But
well,
that was...
So that's our first round. We'll stop. Do you want to end with a story for this round or?
No, that was
Philly and Cliff.
Philly
there. Did he ever come visit you in Brooklyn?
Yeah, he'd come to Brooklyn. But we'd play punch ball and that, but he'd only come up for weekend. Not I used to be able to go for a long time, but they would. Mabel never came and stayed very long.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Well, I don't know if it's because Kinto didn't want her back. Kinto couldn't cook for himself. I don't know, whatever. But they'd only come up for like Aunt Kath would come up for weekends, and sometime Mabel would come, and she'd bring Cliff. You know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good. You kept
the Cliff,
relationship.
Cliff as good as punch as you in punchball.
Well, not really. He couldn't hit it as far.
I see.
So one of the big feats when I go to Philly, or even when I played in Brooklyn, they used to Ted hits the ball three sewers. You know, the sewer plates were
so far. Yeah, right. So many yards, three sewers.
Three sewers, yeah. And then a little bit beyond that, for a corner, there'd be a low building, and I should be able to hit it and hit it up on the roof of that building.
No kidding.
And then when we played ball in Philly, we played in the schoolyard, and where I first went and fell school yard. And they would have these areas where there'd be just more than one match, somebody else, maybe some other group would be over there. But there they pitched it into you, and it bounced up, and then you whacked it. But if you could hit it up on top of that other building, roof of that, big hitter.
Home run, too, right?
Oh, yeah. Me and Willie Longo from the, what did they call it? The name of the team from Jessup and Shump was called the Bitterbaths.
The bitter baths.
I don't know how to spell it, but it was called. Hey, you're on a bitter baths. You know.
You spell it W-H-E-E-L.
And that school, that recreation for the city or whoever did that, they would schedule who you were going to play. A bitter baths would play these or
the lights.
Oh yeah, it was a regular league light.
Yeah.
I didn't get to play a whole season, but I did get to play when I was there.
Now let me guess, your father never came to your games.
Oh, no.
You guys are all running the streets most playing like that,
no,
right?
No, they never.
You would go out in the morning. Would you ever show up? When would you have to show up if you went out? If you were on a play day on the weekend or summer day?
At home?
Yeah.
You'd like on the
street lights?
Would you come home?
Well, at night, I'd have to be home right after dark when I was very young. If I stayed out late to go to movies, I'd have to go with Georgie or Zachy would have to go. Or Brett.
But would you leave in the morning and not come back home, or would you check in, or would they check on you, or?
Oh, well, I remember one Saturday, whenever it was, they were going to have a flyover of all the planes over the Battery, over in New York City, and it was me, Joey Molinari, Eddie Weldon, and Louis DeGreek, and who else? We left that morning. We walked all the way over to Brooklyn Bridge, way down there, and way down to the Battery, right where Mom used to work. Down
right?
There.
Yeah.
And all the way back.
We'd
be gone.
But nobody knew you were gone, or?
Oh, no. I told Mom, we're going to walk over the Battery, you know.
Oh, sure, go ahead, son.
Yeah.
What would she be doing while you were out playing?
Huh?
What would she be doing? Where would Pet be?
Pet, I don't know where Pet went.
Well, you take off and play all day.
It was sad. Pet had a different crowd of girls. She had a lot of girlfriends. Your Aunt Pet had a gang of girlfriends. And they would be, Sabitha Klaus would be there, and the two Jewish girls, group of girls. And, oh, God.
But, Dad, did you come home in the summer? Or
huh?
Did you just go out and play all day?
Oh,
and
they
were
the
home?
Girls. I don't know what they did.
No, you. Did you go out and just play all day and then come home and got
yeah,
tired?
Yeah, we played. Yeah,
or did you come back for
play,
lunch?
We'd play sandlot baseball. We'd find a place down by, the only empty lots were down by the docks.
Did you come home for lunch, or did you just go?
Not all the time.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
So she figured if you weren't home
but
by
when
dark.
I got up into, when I 10, 12, before we moved, no, before we moved to Flatbush, when I was 11, we moved there in 1931, I used to go to movies. On Sundays, we go to movies.
So you lived in Flatbush.
But even then, it was right after, you know, after supper, I went back out. Yeah, I got to get back in there right after it got dark.
Yeah.
Unless I could stay with one of the older guys.
Yeah.
To go to movies or go to pizza. I had my first pizza. Pet took me down there with her gang of guys and girls down to the Italian neighborhood. First pizza. Never forget, I watched that guy, and he used to throw it up in the air, like that. And all it was there was tomato pizza.
Yeah.
Like that. And then it had I had never seen that cheese, you know, the cheese.
Yeah. Yeah.
My first pizza with an orange soda. A glass of orange soda.
Was it a knee high?
That's great. But down in Little Italy, when they would have their festivals, I'd get maybe a nickel or something like that. But they had a thing. I was chicken salad and a saltine cracker for a penny. Man, that was the
good stuff.
That was a little. Yeah. And to this day, I love chicken salad. But then we moved to Flatbush, and that's where I learned to swim. That was in 1931. And I remember going to the movies when I still lived downtown around Borough Hall. I'd see these pictures, you know. Geez, a guy lives in a neighborhood with grass and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's no grass where I got no grass. When we left Philly, I never saw grass again in the neighborhood.
No kidding.
I don't know. Yeah, we had a front lawn with hedges in
Philly.
But in the back was nothing. That was just a yard of concrete.
Then the dump.
And the dumps. Well, if I go back to I remember we used to have on. Even before I went to school, we used to go out in the dumps and poke around looking for money.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a fun thing to poke around and dump.
Because somebody said, when you see a dump truck come in, wait until he leaves, you go in there, and you clean the streets and all that.
Smell it.
What's the best thing you ever found in the dump?
Oh, a couple of pennies.
But how about any other treasures? Find any treasures?
Oh, no.
No?
If I die, I wouldn't recognize
no treasure.
Yeah. You're looking at
your whole slang.
You're poking around, and you just spend the time. And I remember when I was still a kid and in the dumps, some part of the dumps had these big sunflower growing there. And they had grasshoppers that big. We used to catch a bottle of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you do with them?
Just catch them. Put them in a bottle. Release them later.
Yeah.
Went to Flatbush. But when we moved to Flatbush, Aunt Pet, she had, you know, I think she had just graduated public school five, and I was in the fourth grade. Yeah, she was always 4 years ahead of me. I was only halfway through. She was done.
So went to eighth grade.
She and I, anyway, I moved, we moved to Flatbush. She took me on to Flatbush and we got way out there. And I'll never forget going in that house. And I went up in the bathroom. Right out our bathroom window was this tree. It was a beautiful day, summertime. Nice sun was out. And I went down, and my mom had I had never seen a picture that had painting on it, you know, And mom was great for getting cantaloupes and used the juice of a cantaloupe juice, you know,
All those crates
really kind of went out anyway, lived in, and that was summer, at school's out. So there was an A and P. In those days, there was always neighborhood stores. Your grocer, the butcher, the candy store, all neighborhoods had that before supermarket. So she sent me to the store, and I had to get cereal. And I got this. She gave me a list. Take a list, go to the store. I'm bringing it home. And there's a box of cornflakes in there. And when I'm coming back, wherever these guys my age were hanging around, was about five or six of them, first time they saw me there. This guy called me, he said, he saw this box of cornflakes. He said, hey, cornflakes! You know, you just moved here, you know? And yeah, I moved up there. And they wanted to know, do you play this, do you play that? And I said, yeah, I do that, Anyway. But that name, that was my name.
Cornflakes?
Cornflakes. One or two called me Ted, but most of the guys, when I played, then I showed up and played football. I started playing football. I never played football in my life, you know. So I learned
Where
to
did
play
you
football.
Play it?
We went and played out up in the, not too far from there, was this place called Almond Beach. It was all sand. And they put in an area, and they put can or something down. This is the field.
Yeah.
This is the gold. And played in sand like that. And I got pretty good at it.
Yeah.
I was good tackle.
Yeah.
You couldn't get away, you know, by dodging. Then I could really pass. I was pretty good an athlete, you know. Like Dan and Phil. Well coordinated like that. And then Cliff came to visit. And Cliff never played football either, but Cliff could run. He was fast. Cliff was fast, and he was very. He could do the flips. You know, he was very good, and he could swim. When I moved to Flatbush, I couldn't swim. But anyway, we got Cliff. We're going to play this whoever they were. So Cliff's on our team, and Cliff couldn't run in that sand with shoes. He'd take his shoes. But anyway, during that time. There was a famous football player from the Naval Academy called Chum Hoon. He was a Hawaiian. His name was Chum Hoon, who played in his feet.
Bare feet?
Shoes. He couldn't run with them. So, you know, they used to have big football shoes that had these cleats on them. Not spikes, but pyramid-looking cleats on there. And he'd take them. But anyway, his name was Chum Hoon. Well, when we started playing, and I bring us, my friend Cliff, you know. And you, I don't know who gave it, who gave him the name. He said, Christ, this guy's like Chung Hoon. And that's what they call Cliff.
Chung Hoon and Chung
Hoon
and cornflakes.
Chung Hoon and cornflakes. Chung Hoon and cornflakes.
That's great.